From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday Drive on a beautiful, I mean a beautiful day. After the rain yesterday, we have had just absolutely gorgeous weather. So that just goes to show that, you know, even when your team, just, again, can't get over the hump, they just can't make the play to win the ball game, and Auburn goes down to their fourth straight loss. Eventually, the sun came up, and we had a beautiful day. So, hopefully folks are enjoying that. Again, not expecting we're going to get a lot of people that enjoyed the results of the Auburn game on Saturday night. Auburn fans, that is. I'm sure Missouri fans are very grateful that they got out of there with a win. But another one of those head scratching. I mean, this time it was a little different. And there, you know, it's the similarities are Auburn has had opportunities to win each of the last four ball games, and Saturday actually there was more of a semblance of the possibility of winning a ball game in the second half than we've seen. Auburn played better in the second half. Still wasn't. I mean, it's not like Auburn played great in the second half, but they definitely played better in the second half and had opportunities. But once again, you know, just it seems like if something can go wrong, it will, and it did, as the Tigers fall in double overtime to the Missouri Tigers 23-17. So with that, we welcome you in. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, who is in for Dan. Dan's got an event down in Troy. Of course, he is the Troy women's basketball play-by-play. And he is down in Troy this evening. Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com will be joining us at some point. Usually, you know, not too deep into the program, because he and the folks from AuburnSports.com get a rundown podcast usually done on Mondays after Hugh Freeze's weekly press conference. So Brian will be joining us. I was unable to attend. First time I've missed one of the weekly press conferences. I had my follow-up visit after the knee surgery today, right during Coach Freeze's press conference. But we can go over the things that were said. Look, the worst news is that Connor Liu, and this came out over the weekend, it didn't just come out at the press conference, but I mean, the worst news is the loss of Connor Liu, your anchor on the offensive line, the guy who sets all the, sets the line, sets them for each play, protections, that's right, yeah. Is out for the season with an ACL injury.
Yeah, Bill, you hate to see that. What a fine young man. What a great football player. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he is the leader, and he's had experience. He's smart, and that's a tough position. And you also got to remember, he snaps that ball.
He does, and Cale Ellis, I thought, did a more than admirable job of blocking.
Yeah,
when he came in, but you saw a couple of high snaps, and that actually could have, you know, could have been the difference in making a play or not. I mean, I'm sure not going to blame a true freshman, and I agree with what Coach Freeze was saying today about him. I think he's going to be an excellent ball player.
Yeah.
And he's really good for a true freshman right now, but that is a tough, tough loss. So Auburn now without Connor Liu as they somehow try to regroup. And Don, this has to be the most difficult thing right now is – After a loss, it's tough.
Yeah.
After a couple of losses, it's really tough.
Yes.
This is four straight that feels so eerily similar that you come out of the game feeling we should have won that ball game.
Yeah.
And you don't. The more that happens, I feel the more difficult it is to get everybody, you know, to get everybody's head back on straight and focused, because it is hard. It's hard to let one go, but I can't imagine trying to put four of those behind you.
Yeah, very, very tough, very unusual. You know, we talk Friday, it's almost to the point like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that Friday afternoon. But you're right, Bill. It is so hard for a coaching staff to keep everybody going. I mean, you're so depressed. What do we got to do? You know, how can we correct this? Oh, no, that happened again. A penalty, a fumble, a missed kick. All the things that can beat you and has beat us. But we've been in every daggone game,
yeah.
And we could be 4-0 in those games.
Well, I mean, you feel like
– and it's just frustrating.
Even you almost feel like, worst-case scenario, you're going to split.
Yeah.
You know? And if you split and you're 5-2 right now, you're a ranked 5-2 team.
Right,
but instead, you're at the bottom of the SEC.
And you
you're 3-4.
I'm sorry. You haven't lost a bad football team.
No, you're right.
These are all ranked teams. And two of them, I think, are in the top 10 as of today, A&M and Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, they absolutely are. A&M is moving.
Yeah,
A&M may be as highly ranked as I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're way up there. And just going to be a tough road trip. But you know what, Bill, I was thinking last night, sometimes it is better to get away and go play a game on the road, an early kickoff, and – you know, it's just us. It's just us against the world. It's just our little group of the travel team. And I think we'll play well out there. I really do. Now, they can put up some points.
Yes, indeed they can. Bobby Petrino has taken over, and they have scored 31 at Tennessee and lost 34-31. Then last week, 45-42, 42 points against Texas A&M in Fayetteville last
week. But their defense is struggling. So, you know, hopefully we can slow them down and we can get some offense going. It should be a heck of a game. And I like that it's an early game for us.
Yeah, now that is good.
Yeah.
An 11:45 kickoff. Yeah. A&M now the number 3 team in the country. Ooh. In both the AP AP and the coaches poll. That's the team that just beat Arkansas. Arkansas's offense has been pretty good, but since Bobby Petrino has taken over, they have been very, very good. So that'll be the challenge for Auburn. Well, one of the challenges. Again,
right.
The challenge is, you know, to have everybody, not thinking about throwing in the towel.
Right.
I mean, I know Hugh Freeze was asked after the ball game, you know, what can you do now? And he said, win the next one and win out. I mean, that's what you've got to think now. But look, you're not concerned now. You're not thinking about the playoffs.
Right.
Now it's like, can you get things turned around and show that you are the team that you and a lot of people felt you could be?
Right. That's right. Got a lot to play for still, and it's hard, like we were talking. But you somehow got to keep a team together. Once you lose a team, and I don't think we have, then it reminds me of 08.
Not yet, no.
It reminds me a little bit of 08. We just kept, you know, getting beat and losing to, like, Vanderbilt and people like that, and kind of the bottom fell out. And not that we quit, but it was tough to get going every morning.
Yeah, so that's what we've been saying for weeks is, look, that Auburn just needs something
good to have.
They need it to turn out well. I mean, when it was so crazy, Don, at the end of overtime, the first overtime,
mm-hmm.
when Missouri missed that field goal, I think some people had to be reminded, the game's not over. We didn't win.
Right.
You still had to play another overtime.
Yeah,
but the crowd went crazy. And man, the crowd. Oh, I'm what tributes are owed to the Auburn fan base.
Unbelievable.
For showing up. Now, we got over there early, Kathy and I did, and, you know, you always wonder, what's the crowd going to be like after you've lost three straight? You've got a 6:45 game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some other big ball games going on. You're wondering, man, how many empty seats are there going to be? And look, there had been quite a few tickets for sale during the week, but it sure appeared that they were bought by Auburn people.
Yeah.
Because by the time the game kicked off, the place was packed.
Yeah, and loud.
I mean, there were no pockets of empty seats anywhere.
I watched it on television, and I didn't see any big spots, like you said. And they were as loud to me as they were, you know, any other time.
Well, I mean, I mean,
exciting.
It was, and just quite the tribute to the Auburn fan base.
Yeah, no doubt.
For them to show up. And, I mean, it's tough. It's not cheap.
No.
And the thing is, it's tough on the fans, too. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many that I've talked to. And look, it's a different thing right after the ball game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you're walking down after the ball game and there's so many people going, and I've heard this for the last 3 weeks. It's like, well, that's it. I just don't know if I can come back. But then the closer it gets the next time.
Oh, yeah. About Tuesday, they feel a little better.
Well, you know, and by Thursday, let's go. I think we probably ought to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, just
and like you said,
showing by the crowd.
Just very impressive. Best fans around. Atmosphere was great. Just unfortunate, man. It's just one of them things. We're just a little snake bit right now.
And it is. I mean, it is crazy how it's not exactly the same thing. I mean, look. I mean, you can still question. There were a couple of times, without question, Jackson Arnold held the ball.
Yeah.
Now the last play of the second overtime. I don't think he barely had time to get the snap.
Right.
But Jackson, I thought, played one of his better ball games. Had one of his better games. He had at least four drops, including one that looked like just a walk-in touchdown to Cam Coleman.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you know, at the half, you're down 10-7 at the half thinking we should be up multiple scores at the half. And then as the game wound down and you just felt like this game – you'd done just about everything you needed to win the ball game, except you dropped a couple of passes. That one pass was critical, and then poor Alex McPherson. I mean, I know I was out there last week when he was hitting 50 yarders in practice. But I mean, it's a situation with Alex where every day can be different. I mean, just depends on how his body responds to the medicine that he's taking.
Yeah, it's tough.
And he might not feel as strong one day as he does another day. I wasn't watching super closely. I saw him hit at least a 45-yarder in warm-ups. But I wasn't terribly concerned. And then he missed what, for him, had just been automatic kicks. When his second one hits the upright, it's like, oh crap, it's just one of those, it's another one of those nights. I mean, because that ball hit the second one hit midway up the right upright.
Yeah.
So I mean, he had plenty of leg. I think that was like a 38-yarder. It would have been good from around 50. And then after missing those two, having to be, called on to try to kick a 50-yarder. That one, you know, Hugh Freeze questioned himself, I think, in the postgame, saying, you know, they could have gone with Connor Gibbs on that one. But, I mean, you know, you miss three field goals. You drop a touchdown pass. You have a couple of other drops. I mean, and there are other mistakes as well. But when you're playing it seems like the way Auburn is, there's no margin. And there should be some margin for error, because this team, it's not like this team doesn't have any talent, but it really feels, it just feels like each game you're almost waiting for that bad play to happen. I don't know. It's it is just terrible. So, hey, more coaching moves, including Florida after a win. How about that? Florida after a win.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Well, did you watch any of that?
No.
They shouldn't have won.
I heard it was awful.
They should not have won.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, some of the decisions that people make. Yeah. Mississippi State with the ball down to and a timeout in field goal range, throws the ball and gets it intercepted and loses by two. All Mississippi State had to do was just get to the place that the place kicker felt the best, you know, move the ball to whatever part of the field the place kicker felt best.
Yep.
Kick the field goal, win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand some of these, like you said, Bill, some of these calls by these guys are supposed to be gurus.
Offensive geniuses.
Well, that's the problem. I always tell my wife, they can't help themselves.
Yeah,
they're
You're right. Just can't stand it.
Just run the ball. Run the ball.
Yeah, so, but anyway, Billy Napier out after 4-plus years at Florida.
A lot of pressure on Florida State's guy, too, from what I'm hearing.
Oh, no question. Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
It's funny. I saw a headline, Norvell fired. It was Colorado State's Jay Norvell
fired. Oh, he did get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. He used to be at Nevada.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, there are a lot of coaching openings, and we're not done. We are not done by any means. We're just getting underway here on the Monday Drive. Love your thoughts on anything from over the weekend. How about those Vanderbilt Commodores?
Unbelievable. But cheer for them.
They are for real.
Yeah, I think they are. And that kid is a nut and a tough little egg, that quarterback. Wow.
Vandy is ranked number 10 in the nation.
Unbelievable.
By the AP. They're 12th in the coaches' poll. And they deserve it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's another guy I'd be a little nervous, LSU.
Some
unhappy people down there.
Oh, you are absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
That's what I said. We're not
no,
done.
It's not a long way.
No, we're barely into the second half of the season.
Yeah.
All right, tell you what, we're barely a quarter of the way into hour number one. We'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number's 334-564-1840. Let's get to our first break. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews has made it in. I would imagine a fairly lively rundown was done by the group today, Brian.
There might have been some naughty words on it.
Brian,
so I apologize.
Brian usually, I appreciate the fact that you let it all out there on the rundown.
That's right. So
and
I don't
then
come
you're
on here.
You're usually pretty calm by the time you get
that's
in
right.
here.
That's right.
But that's one of the reasons I always want to listen to the rundown. It's like at least up until now, I feel like it's been Brian and everybody trying to, keep Brian from going over the edge.
I didn't go over the edge totally.
Well, you know, here I mentioned this to somebody over the weekend, and seriously, I don't know that I can ever recall any team losing four straight games to ranked teams the way that Auburn has the last 4 weeks. I mean, no matter what, it's almost unheard of, because generally after a couple, you see the team, the coach start losing the team,
right,
or players start tossing it in. Now, not to say that can't or won't happen, but it is incredible to me how hard these guys, this team has continued to play, but how tough the luck has been for them to keep losing these games that feel winnable, in the second half.
And the crowd was incredible.
I said that a little while ago. Unbelievable. I was really surprised. Kathy and I got there early, and I just thought there'd be some big holes.
I was waiting for it, yeah.
And, man, it was packed.
It was.
It was packed. And look, there's no question this fan base is starving.
Yes.
I mean, they're starving for a big win.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when they let out a cheer as big as they did at the end of overtime – to right. send it to second overtime, yeah. it felt like it almost felt like a win there.
Right,
it's like, but God, it
just cannot finish. Yeah,
no, it is.
I mean, everything went well for Auburn except for the offense couldn't, you know, produce in the critical moments again.
No, I mean, it was little different things at times right. this time. I mean, you know,
here's the thing that killed me: they had a 46-yard pass to Cam Coleman. I think it was a 41-yard run by. Jeremiah Cobb.
They had a 30-something yard pass to Perry.
But those are the two big explosive plays of the game, the two longest. On both those drives, they didn't score a point. You add up the six Knicks plays that came after both, three for each one, they netted negative 2 yards. So you have these huge momentum-changing plays that should be, mm-hmm. right? And then they go out there offensively and they get, you know, a combined 6 plays for negative 2 yards. That just tells you this offense just doesn't have identity. They just don't have anything they can lean on.
No, I'm sure you've seen. I saw it over the weekend, and I heard some Doug talking about it earlier with Dan. I mean, you look at the possessions that Auburn has had in the fourth quarter with an opportunity to take the lead this year in the last four games. They did have that one drive against Oklahoma, which Oklahoma then immediately responded. And answered with. But other than that, Auburn has run, I believe it's 35 plays for a total of 24 yards on like five other possessions, or not five, it's more than that possessions. But, I mean, in those four games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, averaging less than a yard per play when they've had the opportunity. You get the ball back. You know, your defense either makes a stand or you get the ball down by a touchdown or less and are unable to generate anything.
Oh, I know. And you know, they were driving there in the fourth quarter, believe it or not, with about 6 minutes left.
Yeah. They moved the ball better in the second half this week, but that's –
They got into Missouri territory, and then they had that huge drop on that third down pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that killed that drive. They punted, and they did not score.
Hour,
or,
right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the defense, which played so well, has the – 30 yards and penalties on the all Oklahoma. Oklahoma takes over in field position, needing 60 yards for a touchdown, and Auburn gives them 30 of it in penalties.
I know. Yep. That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, it's it is. I know Dan has alluded to this, but yet it does feel like, you know, Lucy's holding the football and Charlie Brown's running up to kick
it. Really does.
Time after time.
It really does.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, I wasn't able to be there at the press conference today. I had the follow up on the knee. But I read the comments. Sound like pretty much the same thing. Although I see where Hugh Freeze says that I guess Jackson and Ashton are gonna split time.
He didn't say split, but he said they would
share
both
time.
Yeah, and but he did said he still expected Jackson to start, but. Because of the way things keep going, if they need a spark, it sounds like he's more open.
If they can go down the field and score a touchdown the way they have the last couple of weeks, then that's fine.
Right.
Then see what you do. I don't know. I mean, I thought that we'd probably see Ashton this past week at some point. But I guess, you know, things weren't going that badly for Jackson.
I mean, apparently it is tough. Not in the mix at all.
It's got to be tough when you're right there in the game or leading. It's really tough to pull your starter when he's actually playing better than he has.
It wouldn't be tough for me, but I can understand where you're having the trouble. But yes,
it wouldn't be tough for you until you're there on the sidelines
right.
doing it. It's a whole lot easier to talk about it.
I'll take the buyout.
Than it is to do it.
I'll take the buyout. No, yeah.
Oh man.
There you go.
All right. We're just underway, approaching the bottom of hour number one. Bill, Coach Don Dunn. Brian Matthews, Drew at the controls, and I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get to the phones before we get to our bottom of the hour break, and Spectre is up first. Hey, Spectre.
I knew you'd do that to me, Bill. I mean.
Oh, that you. Well, I want to give you plenty of time. You know, we're not up against any time limit at all. You've got all the time you want.
All right, buddy. Thanks. who we got there today?
Brian. And Coach Dunn.
Coach Dunn, you're a defensive guy, right, Coach?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm talking about offensive line today. So,
he knows plenty of that because they used to go to war every
day.
Yep. Him and you know.
Tell me where I'm wrong when it comes to the offensive line. Everybody keeps talking about Jackson. Everybody keeps talking about receivers and running backs. Why isn't the offensive line front and center of the conversation when they go down the first quarter? Go down the field just like they execute excellently. Then after that drive, all of a sudden something goes wrong. The defense adjusts to them, I understand that. But how come the offense can't adjust to what the defense is doing to them? Tell me why we're not talking about the offensive line, because the offensive line is the key to the success of the quarterback, the receivers, and the running backs. I give you the floor.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think some of it has to do with what you said. The defenses are so good in this league that they adjust. But, you know, I'm like you. Why does it change so drastically after that first – it seems like the first drive? I really don't know the answer to that. Maybe some of the play selection later on, the calls, drop balls, penalties – all those things. But, yeah, you're right. I don't understand it either, why we do so well early and then we get away from it or something.
The inconsistency is one of the – I thought the offensive line didn't play bad on Saturday. I didn't think they had a terrible game. It's tough when you lose your starting center in Connor Lue. But I thought for the most part, I thought Jackson had pretty good protection. And Auburn ran the ball. I mean, Jeremiah Cobb had over 100 yards rushing.
I think it's tough to judge an offensive line when you have a coach on the offense who doesn't really want to feature the offensive line in the running game, right? He looks at the running game as a extra way to maybe help out the passing game when he can, but he doesn't. You know, and it's not like Tubbs or Gus where if they got something going, they're going to run it down your throat. And they're gonna
keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it until you prove you can stop.
Pile you into the dirt by the fourth quarter, right? Mm-hmm. They don't do that right now with this offense. And then on the other side of it, not side, but in pass pro, you have a quarterback that holds on to the ball too long, is a little bit slow processing things. I'm not saying he's a slow person. He doesn't get the ball out quickly a lot of times, especially going to the number two or number three options. To me, he throws to the man instead of throwing to the spot way too often or waits for it to be open. And I think that really puts your offensive line at a disadvantage and makes them look worse than they actually are.
Yeah, I hear what y'all saying. But here we're halfway through the season, and I see no progression on Jackson, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Whoever his quarterback coach is, he's not Jackson's not listening to him, or he's not. He just disregards what he's saying, or what we're saying here.
Or it's just something that isn't innate. It's one of those things where, maybe that's just going to be Jackson.
Right. I'm not a quarterback coach, but I've watched enough football where I just think there are some things that just you cannot coach out of people.
Yeah, This is why I go back to the offensive line. Because last year we had the same problem, and the year before that we had the same problem with quarterback. And, you know,
Peyton didn't take as many sacks as Jackson. Peyton would put the ball up for grabs at times.
Yeah, he would.
He would throw an INT or he'd throw it out. Yeah, that's correct. But anyway, guys, I'm just so frustrated that our offensive line can't put an entire game together.
The offense can't. Yeah. The offense can't put together an entire game. The offense. Yeah. I don't know played three quarters since the Baylor game.
Yeah. Bill, I hear what you're saying, but I'm telling y'all right now, if we had a decent, I ain't talking about every guy going to the NFL. If we had a decent offensive line, our quarterback would produce, our running backs would produce, and our receivers would get over 100 yards a game. You know, that's just the bottom line. I mean, I'm an offensive guy, and the games are won and lost in the trenches. Coach Dunn will tell you that.
Yes, no doubt.
All right, guys, bye.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Specter. Yeah, I don't know. Again, I just have a feeling. I feel like the offensive line's a little better than some.
Right, than they look. I'm not saying they're all SEC, all, you know, future All Americans, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know that six of them are going to be in the NFL next right. year, but.
Well, I just think the offense, the whole function of it, is just not working, and. I agree 100% that you win and lose games in the trenches.
Oh, absolutely.
If you can't block, you're not gonna win. But I think they've got an offense where that doesn't necessarily take place, right? I don't think Auburn has won a game in the trenches offensively that's won a game for them. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking in circles here. It just doesn't seem like that's part of their plan.
All right, we'll get to
Kentucky a year ago, right? They won that game in the trenches.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess Baylor.
Baylor.
Yeah. Baylor backed up their safeties. They ran it up there. You know what?
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
On Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the drive. 21 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports, and we'll head back to the drive hotline, and Milhouse is up next. Hey, Milhouse.
Hey, how are y'all today?
All right.
Do you think some of it is scheme? I mean, I have coached and got out of it, and it just seems like we don't ever have anybody running wide open like you see in every other game. And I'm not the smartest guy, I'll be the first to admit. But if you see a blitz and the blitz is coming, you typically, a lot of teams throw into the blitz to vacate.
There should be somebody left there where the blitz is coming.
Yeah, your hot route.
And most eighth grade quarterbacks know on fourth down, you don't take a sack. You throw. I don't understand where we're coming from. Most coaches try to put their players in a position to succeed, and I'm a firm believer in players make plays, plays don't make players. Why don't we get it to our players more often, or at least try to? It don't even look like we really try. And the last thing, I think I brought it up before, Percy Lewis last year for us could not block a tree. He couldn't move his feet. I read the other day on Pro Football Focus where he is the highest rated run blocker and pass blocker at Ole Miss. To me, that just sticks out to coaching. And
there is a caveat there, though, Milhouse. He's not a starter. He doesn't play but about eight to ten snaps a game.
Who is this?
Percy.
But no, he is rated high, but they have used him very sparingly.
Yeah.
And my other thing is the quarterbacks have been not good since he's been here for a quarterback whisperer. Ken Austin ought to be on the first train out of town, along with Mr. Thornton and along with Mr. Lunsford, because every time we have a special teams play, at least we've gotten smarter and didn't return kicks, so we at least start at the 25 instead of starting at the 12.
Yeah.
But I'll hang up and just listen. It's just getting old. Old fast.
Oh, you're right. You're right about that. And yeah, special teams is crazy because you made a change last year.
Yeah.
I mean – But to his scheme, we've mentioned that, Brian, Don. I mean, you look out there, and in every other game, you see. I mean, there is going to be a time or two where somebody's just running wide open. There's nobody within 10 yards of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like, you know, maybe once every few games you might see that for Auburn, but not. Does the defenses never have busts against Auburn? That's hard to believe.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think we get away from running the ball too early, and I've said it. Of course, I'm a defensive guy. I believe in running the football and stopping the run. That's how you win football games.
Right.
And I think we can run the ball. We've proven we can, and then we just go do it.
Hey, Missouri came in, and again, they hadn't played the toughest schedule around, but Missouri came in giving up 80 yards a game on the ground. Jeremiah Cobb ran for 111.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the ball.
On the other side, Missouri came in leading the SEC in rushing, and Auburn held on 91 yards.
9.9 times out of 10, Tuberville and that staff would have won a game when they win the rushing game on offense and stop the other team from rushing. I mean, that is a recipe for winning football games every single time.
Yeah, we talked Friday, Bill. We were so worried about their rushing game.
Yeah,
we shut
kidding.
Them down. We held them, the best guy in the country. And we just
Look, Missouri came in averaging 500 yards a game total offense, too. Yeah. Auburn held them to 340. I mean, the defense played well. The biggest problem was that 30 yards in penalties.
Penalties, yeah.
That allowed Missouri to drive and get their 17th point.
Well, I think scheme-wise, I think Freeze has an offense he wants to run, and he tries to fit the personnel into that offense. I don't think he's a coach that takes what he's got and tries to fit those players into the best possible way to. For instance, you can go back to Peyton Thorne. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You go back to that great season at Michigan State, and I think it's 2021. They ran the ball well. He was a great play-action quarterback. Comes here. You've got an offensive line built more for run blocking than pass blocking. You've got Jarquez Hunter, one of the best running backs in the SEC. And instead of being the run
play-action team. Instead of featuring him and playing off of that,
they do whatever. And then this year, they tried to go out and get the RPO-type quarterback. Jackson just does not get the ball out quick enough, I think, to run that offense the way you want to run it. But what he can do is he can run the ball. He's a physical runner, makes pretty good decisions. If you could design some more quarterback runs, that's very hard to defend up front for a defense.
Yes, it's an extra guy, basically.
Which would open up other parts of this offense, I feel like, and also get Jackson more into the game where he's not thinking so much. He's just playing ball. But I don't think it's in Freeze's DNA to do his offense like that. I think he has his offense he wants to run, and he wants to find the players to run it. It's just not working right now.
I think that's a very dangerous philosophy. You better always have the kind of talent that you need.
Right.
Then that's not likely to be the case. One player when Milhouse was talking about getting the ball to players. It has been good to see Perry Thompson with the opportunity since Horatio Fields went down. Now, look, Perry had a drop that I know he, was really down on himself about. But, I mean, you see the athletic ability and why people were excited about Perry Thompson when he's able to be out there and on that busted play turning into a 34-yard reception.
And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like Auburn, big play-wise, had more against Missouri than they had in the other
three SEC games
combined.
Yeah, they had 340-yard plays. Yeah. 30-plus-yard plays, because Perry's catch was 34. Jeremiah had a 41-yard run, and Cam Coleman had a 46, and would have had another 50-plus. Yep. I mean, Auburn had opportunities for more big plays there than they have in most games.
Yep.
We'll get one more call before we get to our final break of hour number one. And Jeremy is next. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good.
So I have a question. What do you think the leadership looks like on the sidelines? And I mean from the team itself. I feel like the defense has some leaders, but what about on the offensive side? Like on the sidelines and in the locker room?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question.
Well, your two captains, Connor Lunau, is out for the season with an ACL.
And
Damari Austin is off the team. Keldrick and Champ are your other two leader. Your captains are on the defensive side of the ball, so that certainly is a loss there.
I only see the games on TV, and when they pan over to the sidelines, everybody's just sitting there. I don't see anybody else trying to encourage, talk to their players. So I just didn't know if I'm missing something.
No, I don't think you are.
On TV.
No, I think that's a very good point. I think if you watch the offensive defensive play, you can see a noticeable difference to me in the energy and, the, and just the way they get after it.
And that's and that's something that's a little different when you're at the game. It's tougher for me to notice what's going on to the sideline when there's something going on in the field. So
that's a
good point. I'm glad you brought that up.
All right. Well, thank you.
Appreciate the call, Jeremy. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. Bill, Don, Brian, here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Got a few minutes left here in hour number one. We were talking a little while ago, Brian. I mean, it's like every week more coaching moves made. I mean, Florida, the latest Napier, in the SEC. Yep. Billy Napier fired after a win.
Yeah, that's right. And, he's been on the hot seat about as long as any coach has ever been, right? I mean.
Yeah.
He has. I mean, it feels like Hugh Freeze is, following right along with what happened with Billy. And I was looking. I mean, it's exactly one season more than Hugh Freeze has been at Auburn, is what Billy Napier got.
Well, if Freeze follows that plan, he'll win the next four games, right?
He would win the next four, but then he'd start off 4-5 and be gone at that point. Because Billy Napier's record is 8 wins and 5 losses more than Hugh Freeze. But if he were able to win the next 4 or 5 out of 6 or whatever, but then start off with a losing record. That's what Florida did last year. They just postponed the inevitable.
Yep, and that was at one time considered the best job in the country after, Spurrier Meyer.
Because of the talent that is there in the state of Florida and it being the flagship university of the state and
all the talent
in the SEC. Yep. I mean, what more? And now it'll be really interesting because I'm sure you've seen their hot boards, the hot board posted on, as a matter of fact, at On Three.
Yeah.
Their hot board. Here are the names, Don. Their hot board has Lane Kiffin, Marcus Freeman, Eli.
That's gonna be a no.
Huh?
That's a no.
I mean, it's funny how that Florida people feel like they can get Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame.
Yeah, they're not.
Eli Drinkwitz. Possible. Now, I can see that. Yep. Jed Fish, who has Florida ties.
Yeah. Where's he right now?
He's out west. I lost my.
He's at Washington.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Washington. Let's see, who else is on there? Brent Key, Dan Lanning.
Yeah, that's not.
They ain't getting Dan Lanning. No. Jeff Brohm. That's an interesting. Okay. Jeff, you know Jeff.
Yeah, work with him and for him.
I've always thought he is an excellent offensive coach.
He is a great offensive coach and a players coach. Hard nose.
Isn't he from a coach's family? Yeah, wasn't his dad a coach too?
Yeah, and the brothers,
right?
And the sister might be the best athlete and whip them all.
Wow! he's at home.
Yeah,
he grew up there, and it's his alma mater, which is sort of the same story as the Brent Key and Clark Lee.
Yeah, but what a big win they had Friday night!
Oh yeah,
my goodness,
knocking off Miami.
4 interceptions.
Well, I would say this. Lane Kiffin's getting paid either way, and so is Eli Drinkwitz. They're both going to get paid no matter what happens.
And Georgia Tech's trying to lock down Brent Key right now.
And I think Brent wants to stay. So.
All right, let's get back to the phone. Alan is up next here on The Drive. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. Got a kind of a scheme question for anybody who wants to try it. So it's blindingly obvious that Jackson Arnold really – likes to have the play call for him. I mean, the route. I mean, the first half, the first drive, second drive, 2 steps, boom. He knows where he's throwing it every time. Can they not do that the whole game? I mean, what's the problem doing that the whole game? Do they just catch on? I mean, so, yeah.
That, you know, that's a really interesting question. I wonder, with as many analysts and as large a staff as you have, could you not have scenarios from wherever the ball is on the field? You get it here, then we're going to do boom, 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 this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know, Alan. That's a really good question. What do you think, Don?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a great question, and I'm like you, Bill. With as many people as they have now, they ought to be able to diagram and scheme and figure out everything.
Hey, no, yeah, everything. If we're down this,
analytics,
then that. Yeah.
Analytics, you know, or whatever they
I mean,
call
really,
them.
it seems like that's,
yeah, that's
not question. Unlikely, Alan.
Great
that,
question.
That's when he gets in trouble, when you ask him to make a decision more than one read, and he can't do it. But when he just takes two steps and throws, he knows where he's going. It's kind of like, you know, kind of.
The problem is, once Auburn cycles through that, the defense adjusts and they don't have an answer.
And then you're starting all over.
Yeah, that's why Alan's saying, why not just have different than have a, all right, if they do this, then we're going to go this direction.
Yeah, great.
I don't know. Question. Great stuff, Alan. We need to get to our top of the hour break. We're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Love for you to join in hour number two.
Auburn Network Production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. A beautiful fall day. It is just absolutely gorgeous. Temperatures have been in the 70s, haven't gotten, above the mid-70s or so today. Going to be chilly again this evening. I love it. It is just absolutely beautiful. Hope you're enjoying it. And, it's like, at least at my house, I feel like it had been dry enough and breezy enough that hadn't even been that much falling here over the over the last few days. It's really just been extremely enjoyable. So hope everybody having a good Monday, as good a Monday as you can. I understand Mondays can be Mondays.
Yeah,
we're here with you talking whatever you would like sports wise. Once again, Auburn coming up short, close but no cigar, as the Tigers fall in double overtime to Missouri, 23-17, and now 3-4 on the season, 0-4 in SEC play. And Brian, Hugh Freeze, the only coach in Auburn football history to begin three straight seasons 0-4 in conference.
That's not the type of record, history that you want to set, but that's Auburn football right now. And if they finish with a losing record, it'll be five straight, which has only been done one other time.
I know.
That's just hard to believe. We're in this time for Auburn football. This is a great football program with tremendous support. We saw it Saturday night.
Again, yes.
Jordan Hare was incredible. There is so many people that love this school and this program, support it financially and through other means, and the product on the field is just not getting it done right now.
No, offensively especially.
Yep.
Again, defensively, look, this team's had some breakdowns. There's no question. They're not perfect. But defensively, they've played as well as anybody. I mean,
they're good.
Yeah, I mean,
they're really good on defense.
They've played a couple of pretty darn good offenses here over the last few weeks, and have held all of them below their season average.
Maybe the only thing they're not doing enough of on defense is getting turnovers.
And they got a couple Saturday.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, a couple of really impressive interceptions by Kay and Lee and Jay Crawford.
And Auburn got, I think, 3 points off the turnovers.
Right. Well, it did prevent it.
Yeah,
it did
prevent
one of them looked like it prevented some points that Missouri was headed toward. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. You can also text us on the Drive text line presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840. We'll get to the Drive hotline. And is it Uncle Ollie? Hey, Uncle Ollie.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So, the you know, you watch that defense, they are just incredible. The only, if I was just to nitpick, they always scare me on third and long for some reason. On third and long, it's like, go ahead and just give the other team the first two downs. Let's just play the third down. Because, and maybe, I don't know. It just seems like that's our Achilles heel. But that's my only complaint because, good Lord, do they not play some good defense? So that would be my only complaint with the defense. The third and long just seems to kill it.
And, you know, I just pulled that set up as you were talking, and Auburn's actually fourth in the conference on third down conversions defensively.
Yeah.
So, but they have, but I have seen it too. I've seen the third and longs. And, but overall.
But it seems like the third and longs that kill us are when it really matters.
Yeah. Right. Right. That's sort of that just sort of goes along with the way this year's going, Uncle Lolly.
I totally agree. Yeah. And you know, and I was there, and I hate to say it, but when it went into overtime, I almost decided, let's go on to the house. Because I felt like we can't outscore them in overtime. That's a horrible way to be, but I was just thinking to myself, we'll find a way. And then I watched that last overtime, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a play caller, but I would have thrown it to Cam Coleman four times. They would have either had to interfere, he catches it, or he doesn't catch it. Two of those three are good things.
No, when you've got somebody like that, and I tell you what, I would think about Perry on the other side too.
Yeah.
You got two guys like that can go up and get the ball. I'd definitely be giving them shots, no question about it.
Exactly. That frustrated me, and I don't know. Are any of y'all gamblers? Do y'all gamble at all?
Fortunately, not anymore. No.
Okay. Well, so I go to Vegas a fair amount. And this is what I've started feeling. You sit at a blackjack table, and you're down, and you keep thinking, if I stay here long
I can't leave. I'm gonna get it back.
It's gonna turn around, and I'm gonna get my $800 back. Yeah. And when you get
and
up,
the next time,
you're down $4,000.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way I'm feeling right now. We just keep on thinking, it's going to turn around. It's going to turn
almost
around.
That's right.
And then the next thing you know, we're 4-8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the way I started feeling. I'm like, are we just like sitting at the blackjack table? No, it's going to turn around. And when I hear Hugh talk at press conferences, I feel like that's the same conversation I've had with myself at a blackjack table. I'm so close.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to turn around.
It can't keep going. Yeah, it can't keep going this bad.
No.
Yeah. Yes, it can.
But anyway.
Sadly.
Anyway, it's always great to talk to you guys. Thank y'all.
Great hearing from you, Uncle Ollie. Yeah. That is a great description.
Yeah.
Of what it feels like.
Mm, no doubt.
I mean, it's because like I said a while ago, I can't recall, and I'm sure there have been, and maybe I just wasn't paying any attention, but a team that I felt was as talented losing game after game after game after game and hanging in there. I mean, you've seen teams talented lose a few games in a row, but generally by the third or fourth one, there's a really bad one in there, and there hasn't been, you know, at least I'm talking, they've all been bad. It's bad when you lose these, but I mean, there hasn't been one where you just felt like, well, they just tossed in the towel.
Right. No, no doubt. I mean, every game we talked earlier, Bill, we could be 4-0 instead of 0-4 easily. Mm-hmm.
334-321-1390, and Daniel is up next. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, guys. I hope y'all are enjoying the weather while we have it.
Oh, yes.
Man, it's so interesting to hear Uncle Ollie talk about leaving the game. My wife and I left with a minute 30 left in the game.
Wow.
And we knew. I mean, it was just the offense's ability, or inability rather, to move the ball. We just knew. And we said, you know what? We want to watch maybe an exciting end, or, I mean, probably not, or beat the traffic. Let's beat the traffic. So
you did, because leaving after the game, there was still tons of traffic. And credit to a lot of people. I mean, people did, a lot of folks, you know, hung around because of it going to double overtime. So you did get that done.
Yeah, and actually my wife, I have to credit her. She was the one that called that play. And I was like, man, I don't know. And she said, we've been here before. We'll probably be here again.
That's sad. That is sad but true.
But anyways, I wanted to ask you guys, y'all's opinion on maybe some parallels coming up between old Napier and Freeze. Is it even with a win after this Saturday that maybe something happens, or with a loss, it's absolutely certain that he's out, or is it maybe a dominant win that can keep him in as far as Freeze? What's y'all's thoughts on that?
Well, guys? I do not think there's anything definitive you can say about it right now.
No.
I do not anticipate Auburn letting him go if he beats Arkansas.
Right.
If he loses Arkansas, then I think it really gets tough.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
And you know, I was thinking about this. I mean, sometimes you would not that you ever look ahead, but I mean, I do think Florida had a situation. Don't they have an open day?
They do. Yes.
All right. So where you have either a little extra time or at least have a home game coming up.
Yeah.
I think it is difficult if you either have a road game or if you're coming off a win. Right. It's more difficult.
Auburn's next off week is after Vanderbilt, which would be that game's November 8th.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Mercer comes up next. Right now, yeah. How do you see? I don't see how Auburn can beat Vandy right now. And I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know that I ever thought I would hear myself saying that.
I think they can beat Arkansas and Kentucky.
I think, yes.
They may not.
That's right.
But they can.
They absolutely can.
Right.
I am not sure that this team can beat Vandy.
I think Vandy's, I mean, no offense, but
Vandy's
I think
a
Vandy's
top 10 team right now.
Well-coached team.
They are.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel that way about Auburn.
Well, I mean, Vandy's defense is really, really good. I don't know how Auburn's going to score.
That guy's a hard-nosed coach. Yeah.
Yes,
too.
He is.
And if you watch them against LSU, you could just see it coming.
Yeah.
You could see that they were going to take control of that game eventually.
They had no doubt.
Yep.
Yeah.
They are – well, that's the thing. It's a 180 from Auburn. You talk about – they know.
Right.
They are confident, and they know they're going to make plays.
It's sort of like Georgia.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
Golly, they get so far behind. Hey, it's coming. It's coming.
Yep.
You saw Nussmeier make plays in that first half, and then they just kind of squeezed them, and that was it.
334-321-1390. Dak is up next. Hey, Dak.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
All right.
Good. No, you're talking about Vanderbilt. Hell, we can't score three touchdowns on anybody on offense. We're not going to score three offensive touchdowns.
I'm not sure that Auburn's going to score 3 points
against
Vandy.
Worst defense in the SEC coming up, giving up over 30 points a game. If Auburn cannot score against Arkansas, it's not looking good against anybody.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You want me to tell you guys when I knew the game was over with?
Is this before or after
Saturday
kickoff?
Saturday night. No, I'm not that bad. I'm not that much of a pessimist. But when we were up 13-10 and had the ball first and goal and we didn't score a touchdown and we kicked that field goal, I said, it's over. And I got up. I went to Hamilton's and I was three drinks in by the time that game was over with.
That's probably the best game story of anybody, right? In orange and blue.
That's right.
Saturday, yeah.
Man, I tell you, it's yeah, it's just the same story, different book,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want bad things to happen. I want Coach Freeze to be successful. But at some point, you have to look yourself in the mirror. I mean, at some point, you got to say, I got to hire an offensive coordinator if I want to keep my job, you know? And but we the caller before was talking about getting the ball to our big receiver, man. I I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him, but the question I want to ask you, number one, is how many catches does Singleton have right now on the season?
You got the stats, don't you, Brian?
Yeah, I do. Give me one second.
I can look it up, but Brian's got the stats right there. He got the media release today.
Might take
not enough, I can tell you that, Dak. Not enough.
Guys, do you realize what kind of season he had at Georgia Tech last year? Do you realize who we should be getting the ball to?
He's got 36 catches, just 311 yards, two touchdowns. He's only averaged 8.6 yards a catch, which is crazy for a guy with his explosiveness.
That's right. For him, that is absolutely absurd. Yep. That dude was a playmaker for Georgia Tech, man, and we're not getting him the ball enough.
Nope.
And we're relying too much on a guy that you can't rely on. And that's just the facts, guys. That is just a fact. And I hate to be so cruel about it, but we need to get the ball to playmakers, and we need to throw to the running backs more. Mm-hmm. I do not understand why we don't throw the ball to the running backs more, even on just simple swing passes. Do you realize 8 out of 10 times a running back's going to make one guy miss? And we don't never give them that chance.
Jeremiah Cobb has 2 catches for 11 yards.
That's unbelievable, man.
Yep.
That's unbelievable. Go check how many Vanderbilt's running backs or Ole Miss's running backs have. I guarantee you it's close to 20.
Yeah,
at least.
I mean, if you want something quick out of the quarterback's hands, get an opportunity to try to, you know, get a guy in space, see if he can make somebody miss, it's not much simpler than just a little flip out there.
That's right.
That can be your running game. If you don't want to just straight hand
that's right. That can
be your running game.
Yeah, and, you know, a linebacker should not be able to keep up with a running back. And you see this done all the time. You know, when you throw that swing pass or the quick out to the running back enough, then they do the what they call an arrow route where they fake that out and hit them down the middle of the field. I mean, we can do that all day long, and we don't even attempt to throw to the running back.
Nope. No, you're absolutely right. You're right.
All right, guys. Good listening to you.
All right, Dak. Thanks. Great stuff. I mean, and yeah, these seem like, you know, this doesn't seem like the most ridiculous, you know, outlandish thoughts.
No,
we're not that far. I don't think we're thinking that far outside the box.
No,
it's like, my goodness, the box is a matchbox.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think when you're talking about schemes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. We'll get Brian's Monday musing somewhere along the way this hour as well. So stick with us here on The Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 106.7 online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 21 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Brian Matthews. Who have we got up?
Terry
is up next. Right. Hey, Terry, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Brian. Hey, Coach. How y'all doing?
Great.
Mm. Wonderful. Do y'all really think if Hugh Freeze hired an offensive coordinator, or one was forced on him, rather, per se, that he would adhere to and listen to him? I don't. I don't think he would give in at all.
I think it'd be really tough for him to do that. I mean, we saw it the first year. He knew what he needed to do. He hired
Philip Montgomery,
but couldn't stay out of it.
Yeah, and we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it, and it's not just at Auburn.
No.
When someone is and has been a play caller, it's really difficult for them to give that up.
Right, and that's the kind of the offensive-minded head coaches, quite honestly, I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, some of them the ones that haven't had to give it up, I mean, Now it's interesting because Charlie Weiss calls the plays at Ole Miss, but you know that's Lane's offense,
right?
Right.
I would say Ohio State. I think he's done a good job of allowing his coordinator to work.
Yeah, right
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the offensive coordinator under offensive minded head coach is just a figurehead. That's all they are.
I think that's 90% of the time or more.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
I wouldn't be surprised. Now look. I wouldn't be surprised if the defensive coordinator under defensive-minded head coaches isn't running their defense most of the time, too. I mean, I think you're going to be strong one side of the ball or the other.
Sure.
And yeah. that team is going to play generally the way, you know, your style, whatever, whether your offense or defense. Am I wrong, Don?
No, you're right.
But I think he's – go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think he's right in that. I think the coach that best fits this era of college football is the CEO coach.
Yeah.
Because there are so many responsibilities when it comes to recruiting,
yes.
when it comes to fundraising for NIL and everything, when it comes to running the staffs that are probably three or four times bigger than they were
right.
back 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just think there's so much more involved in that. And if you get, you know, down in the weeds of running an offense or a defense, it's really hard to do all the other things that need to be done really well.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Now, let me pose a scenario to you three gentlemen. I agree with Bill. Bill, I thought the backup quarterback at Auburn was going to play Saturday. I really did.
I've been waiting for it for 2 weeks, yeah.
He turns out to do well. How does it make Hugh Freeze look?
The thing is, how does it make him look, but how does it make him feel? If they win, he'd probably feel a hell of a lot better than losing another one. But, yeah, you're right. I mean,
it's a great point.
There are plenty of coaches that have gone through that have just been absolutely sure they had their guy.
Yeah. And suddenly,
forced to go to the other guy and watch it.
Why isn't Deuce Knight even an option? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I just think that's a real-life scenario, and I don't know that's going to happen. I hope it will happen, but, you know,
They're getting closer and closer to the point where he could still play in redshirt.
Yeah,
I mean, that's true. One thing they talked about was redshirting Ashton. There's only five games left now, so, I mean, he could play in four of those five.
Yeah, somebody came up with the scenario of him playing the four SEC games and sitting at Mercer and letting Deuce start.
Yeah, that would work, and then he could redshirt them both.
I'm not sure you could plan that out exactly like you want it to, but, yeah, that would work.
But I'm not so sure that the quarterback is the problem. I mean,
I'm not either.
Yeah,
not 100%.
He played a good game Saturday night.
He played one of his better. Probably played his best SEC game for Auburn. Yeah.
I mean, the receivers didn't help him, and the offensive line don't help him at all.
No.
And Auburn spent a lot of NIL money on the offensive line.
And receivers.
Quarterbacks.
And quarterback. Yeah. And then poor Alex. I mean, my goodness. I mean. Those were the first two are just automatics for him in the past.
Right. Guys, you have a great evening.
All right, Terry. Good hearing from you. Yeah, it's I don't know. I mean, it will be interesting as in case you weren't listening. I mean, we mentioned it earlier. Hugh Freeze saying that Ashton Daniels is going to share some of the work there with Jackson Arnold, and so we'll see. Jackson will get the start. I mean, didn't Hugh pretty much say that?
He expects
him to start. Expects Jackson to start. So. But I mean, I guess what that would mean is maybe at first sign of trouble, then you get a chance to see Ashton Daniels for the first time in an Auburn uniform.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe. But, you know, once he does well in that first drive, then, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the last 2 weeks, his first drive hadn't been a problem.
All right. I know.
And we were talking before last week, Auburn couldn't do anything on the first drive.
Yep.
At least they finally figured that out.
Right.
Oh, my. 3-3-4. Yeah. 3-3-4-3-2-1-13-90. We talked a little while ago about the Florida opening with Billy Napier out. I'm with you. Brian mentioned Brian Kelly. LSU fans.
He could be in trouble.
Yeah. LSU fans are not the happiest with him either.
No, they are very upset. They, you know, last year was a struggle, and then they thought with the money they invested and the team they got coming back around Nussmeier, who I think his injuries really affected his play.
More than we know.
Yeah, and then the offensive line's had injuries, which has affected their play. It's just kind of all falling apart there for them.
Yeah, I mean they're 5-2.
But 5-2, falling apart, right?
But they felt they were a top 10 team, right?
And they've got some really tough games coming up too.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yep. And how about the guy Georgia Tech? My goodness,
they're
still
they're undefeated, right? I think they are.
Yes, they are. They're the only unbeaten, like somebody said. They're the only unbeaten team in the state of Georgia over there. So. Now that could be a heck of a ball game.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving week.
Where do they play, Bill?
That one is in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
That is Black Friday in Atlanta.
Wow.
So LSU plays Texas A&M this weekend.
Yeah, they're home against Texas A&M.
Then at Alabama.
Yep.
They get Arkansas, Western Kentucky, but then they finish up at Oklahoma.
I mean, so this LSU team could finish with, they could finish
easy
8-5, 7-5.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you're looking at it now, and the team, you know, except for A&M is the team that thus far, and they hung on against Arkansas. We will see. I mean, A&M is still, A&M's got to go to Baton Rouge this week. They go to Missouri in 2 weeks, and they've got South Carolina at home, Samford, before they go to Texas.
Yep.
So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for the number three team in the country in Texas A&M.
And listen to Georgia Tech's schedule. They're already 7-0. They get Syracuse at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be a good game. But at NC State, definitely winnable. At Boston College, certainly winnable. Pitt should be a good game, but again, they're at home. And then they finish up against Georgia and Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
Yeah, they've got a chance to win at least.
That could be the biggest Georgia Tech game that I could ever remember.
Long time,
it could be 11-0 versus 10-1 going in there. Easy.
Wow.
What do we got? What do we got on tap this week?
I haven't even done our pick'em yet.
All right. Here are your games. Alabama is at South Carolina. Obviously,
that's another guy.
Yeah, you're right there.
The pressure's getting to that young man. He's snapping.
Yes, indeed.
Yelling,
carrying on. I mean, there could be some more. I mean, we had a year or two where there weren't many changes in the SEC. There could be a few more. Georgia and Florida are off this week before they play next week.
Ole Miss and Oklahoma should be a great game.
Wow.
That should be fun. Yes, indeed. Especially if Oklahoma's playing well.
Let's see. We got Mississippi State is at Texas. Mm. That one shouldn't be the most wonderful game. Kentucky hosts Tennessee.
Don't you feel like Mississippi State is due for one big upset, though?
Well, it should have been last week.
Right.
I mean, I thought they were, and then they went and, just
couldn't help themselves.
Yeah. I mean, just blew that ball game. They had that ball game, had everything you could ask. You're in field goal range. You've got a timeout. You're down two.
And you throw it to a big
–
one of those big, fat, ugly guys,
let's throw it.
Dropping.
Yeah, that was – that's
he made it. He was a good catch, though, for a big guy, right?
It was. Right in his hands. And he ran pretty well.
Yep, not too bad. I also like Missouri at Vanderbilt. That's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, you're right there.
And that's a game that could go a long way to determine SEC, lineup as far as playoffs and championship
Vandy
games.
Vandy is fortunate. I mean, that's good for them that it's at home. Because Vandy's then got to go to Texas the next week. But so what?
Yeah.
Texas's offense, Vandy's schedule actually, look at Vandy's schedule. All right. They've got Missouri at home this week. Then they go to Austin and to Auburn.
Auburn's in Nashville.
Bad. To Austin and then host Auburn. But, I mean, that's two struggling offenses.
Yes, it is.
Then they get an open date before they host Kentucky, and then they go to Knoxville.
And two quarterbacks that have some similarities sometimes.
Arch,
yeah. As far as getting the ball out of him.
Pressure is not his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's a look at this week and a little peek ahead for some of these as well. Yeah. I mean, who thought we're sitting here talking about top 10 Vandy and a chance? I mean, they've got a real shot of being in the playoff.
Yep.
They've got a real shot of being in the 12-team playoff.
Wow.
Yep.
Show your gold.
And Auburn has none.
Nope.
Yes.
And there's not a good Big Ten game this week at all.
I haven't looked at all the
Illinois
games.
Illinois is at Washington, maybe? That doesn't feel like a Big Ten game, but it is.
It doesn't feel like a huge game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look
Michigan, at that. Michigan State is not a big game anymore.
At least
not this year.
Help Brian come up with the
pick'em. Yep.
The pick'em we'll this it. Week. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com with Drew at the controls here on this Monday. Auburn about to head on the road for an early start, not as early, as not the earliest, not at 11 o'clock, but 11:45.
You know what I'll be covering Saturday? I'll be helping out with football coverage, of course, but I'll be covering banana ball.
Yes, banana ball.
Banana ball, yes.
I sent in a request. I haven't seen anything yet. So
I sent him one like a couple of days ago and got it back.
Oh, so. Well, see, they haven't sent it back to me. And I thought I gave him a good explanation and stuff
like
on
that.
Mine.
I'm sure they'll
wanted
get back
something
to
interesting. I mean, it's like, well, so I may not be watching that then. So
you'll get you in there.
Yeah. We will see. I mean, they ought to. It's like, crap, I've been a baseball guy for a long, long time around here. But yeah, that's cool. That is coming. That's coming this Saturday. But yeah, Auburn, Arkansas, 11:45 Saturday morning. I feel like, oh, it's deja vu. Bobby Petrino's the Arkansas coach, and they're scoring a lot of points.
Yeah. who would have guessed?
That's something. You know, we've had a lot of folks over the last few years talking about offensive coaches whose offenses have gone out of style. They've been caught up. Bobby Petrino's offense, Don, you've known him for a long time.
Yep. Worked with him,
and his
times.
Offenses have worked for a long time. And he's not doing that much different than he did, you know, 2 and 3 decades ago.
Right. He's a stickler for detail. He puts so much pressure on everybody in practice that it's almost a relief to get to the game, if that makes sense. I'm talking about coaches, managers, trainers, doctors, and players. And I've never seen a guy – but during the game, he's not a maniac. I mean, he'll get upset, but but what a play caller. And he's going to find your weakness and attack it. And if he had any defense at all, they would have won these last two games.
Oh, I mean, they scored 73 points in the last two games.
Yeah. But he's
in his first two.
Excellent football coach. And I could go on and on. He might be one of the best, if not the best, head coach I ever worked for overall. Because, you know, Tubb was great. Brohm's great. Chris Ault at Nevada is in the Hall of Fame. I was lucky to work for him. But he's a stick. I've never seen a more detailed guy on everything. He would watch every play on defense and offense before we got in there on Sunday morning and graded each position. I don't know how he did it.
Wow.
And
not much sleep.
No. And, you know, he had now it's easier because you get all these young guys and these analysts and stuff you can bring in there and just watch it and call out, you know. But he did it all himself. And great football coach.
Well, he is one that has shown that, you know, if it works, there's no problem with the head coach being a play caller.
No.
Because, I mean, it's never really been anything that has dragged down his offense.
No, and he is hard on the quarterback. I'm talking about hard on a quarterback during practice, during film session. And, of course, he was a little old quarterback himself, option quarterback in Montana, played for his dad, who was a tough guy and a Hall of Famer coach. So, yeah, that good coach, good football player. I mean, good football, everything about him with his football. And I'm afraid they're going to put up some points, but our defense is pretty good now.
It is. I mean, it's going to be quite a challenge for this defense.
I really think this
may be – maybe as challenging as any team that Auburn's played thus far.
Yes, and I just think it's natural when you're on a team that's not performing well and one side of the ball is letting down the other side of the ball, so to speak.
Right.
That
eventually it seems like you're going to have a letdown.
Right, even if you're playing hard, you just tend not to be as sharp, or you tend to start making mistakes here and there and things start falling apart. We'll see. D.J. Durkin and his staff have done a great job, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think he's a good coach.
I do, too.
Hard-nosed guy. Yeah, it's so frustrating. I've been on teams where the offense has been great and we've been terrible on defense. I've been on the opposite where the defense was good. And it's hard, like you guys said, to hold it together. And it's always that feeling that Bill and I were talking about, what's going to happen bad? Something's right. going to happen bad. Okay, we got this now. Oh, no, we fumbled. Oh,
well, you
we
just worry. Yeah, you worry about yeah. I almost worry about them being too tight, thinking, right. you know, I right. can't make a mistake. And when you're right. thinking,
oh,
when
yeah.
you're thinking you can't make a mistake, you're going to make a mistake.
And you don't react.
No, and then the other thing is, look, let's face it now. I mean, everything that Auburn had talked about being out there, and, you know, Hugh was asked about this in the postgame, Brian. I mean, you know, he'd talked about preseason being in the conversation in November. Yeah. And that was one of the things to players, to recruits, to things. Keep an eye on us. We're going to be – well, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not – I mean, not for what they want to be in the conversation right. Right. about right. in November. Auburn may be in the conversation yeah. in November, but it won't be playoff conversation
no, it won't.
For November.
No.
And that's something you worry when that carrot was out there – and, hey, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone now. And you wonder what motivation. Yeah. Now players right. are going to need to be able to motivate themselves.
Right. And now it's so much different from when I coached. Now you worry about these guys. Well, I may be looking to get out of here.
Right.
You don't want that to start. And you know they're being contacted.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
yeah.
I guarantee that our receivers are being contacted.
Yep.
I know it.
Now, let me ask you, Brian. I mean, I believe – Aren't the new transfer rules
right,
in place now?
Yes. So, right, so you don't have that 30-day window anymore when
right.
a coach is fired.
The 30-day window doesn't begin until 5 days after the next coach is hired.
Right.
So that's something I think some people were going, well, you don't want to make a change early.
Right.
Well, not
that matter anymore.
Not if the players can't enter yeah. the portal.
Yeah. No.
That doesn't mean they're not being contacted. They
right. oh,
can't yeah. already be making plans, which they're doing everywhere anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that is one thing that is significantly different. I mean, the problem you have now, if you wait, if you're going to make a change and you wait till the end of the year, is I don't see how you salvage any recruiting at all. But on the other hand, if right. you make a change now, When can you announce the next head
right.
coach?
Especially if the head coach you're looking for is possibly in the
yeah.
playoffs.
If
right?
if he's still coaching.
Yeah.
Because the early signing or yes, it is still the early signing period, but the primary signing
right.
period is going to come a couple of days after the season
right.
ends.
Yeah. Early December.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the season ends the end of November, your early signing period is coming up next, and you don't have a head coach?
Right.
Good
That's
luck.
That's tough. Yep. That's tough.
Yeah.
Of course, there
Don,
are.
Don, have you ever been on one of those situations?
No, not really. Well, Montana.
I guess we didn't have as much of the early signing
no,
period.
No, ours was everything was in February,
yeah.
right, Brian, back
yep.
in those days.
That was those days were fun. I enjoyed that because it was all about recruiting.
Right.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, that's the month.
Now,
the thing is, as bad as basketball was, January and early February,
yep.
that's pretty much what
yeah.
you had.
That was it.
Football recruiting.
Yep. Yeah, the big recruiting parties and all the, you know, information.
Oh, man, who all's coming in this weekend?
Yeah,
you're hoping
yeah.
the weather's good. This, yeah.
You'd
Absolutely.
Have you'd have several guys you'd have to watch on TV that day just to find
yeah.
out what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Watching
yeah.
them do their hat tricks. Oh,
yeah,
no,
hated
no
those
question.
Hat tricks.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we'll get one more call before we get to our final break of the afternoon. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, guys, I know Brian's going to do his musings here in a few minutes,
Yeah, we always save the best for last.
There you go.
Yeah,
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
You know, I wish Dan was their music guy, too, but I was looking at my calendar, and today is the anniversary of the Lynyrd Skynyrd crash.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. That's
know,
tough
Bill,
day.
I,
they were
yeah.
an incredible band. And the amount of incredible songs they put out in that short period that are still relevant. And,
oh, no,
you know,
no question about it.
It's just
no question
amazing.
About it.
Ronnie Van Zant was an incredible musician, mm-hmm. incredible songwriter, greatly underappreciated, I think.
Yeah.
Now, I just had the anniversary. Was it in 77 or 78?
77.
77 is what I, yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Okay, so God, it was right after Elvis passed away, because he passed away in August of 77. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing about Ronnie Van Zant that I loved was he was always barefoot on stage.
Yep. Always had that little hat. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little hat. I mean, he wasn't a very tall guy. I know that. but yeah, that was just wild. He was always barefoot on stage. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up since Brian was there and y'all were going to do musings, and I don't know what it was. So, but that's all I got, guys. Disappointed in Saturday, but let's just move on and we'll figure something out. War Eagle, guys.
Appreciate it, Mitch. I haven't seen it. Did he nail it?
Oh, well, yes. Yes, he
did. I can tell by the look on Brian's face when he said it. I was going to say, I try to avoid looking at it so I can try to guess. Yep.
48 years ago today, tragic death of three members of one of the greatest Southern rock bands of all time, wow. Along with the two pilots, assistant road manager, and the...
Was it in Louisiana?
Mississippi.
It was in Mississippi.
Mississippi, yeah.
It was... I guess it was just outside of, what's the city in Mississippi? I can't remember the name of it. I know I wrote it down somewhere, but Gillsburg, Mississippi, which I'm not even familiar with.
No, I'm not either.
And I've recruited a whole state. I don't know where it is.
Yeah. But
wow.
But the thing that's crazy about that plane, it was a 1948 plane, and 20 people survived that crash.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And then I wrote about it, but Ronnie Van Zant, when the plane was going in for its crash landing, had been sleeping on the floor in the cabin right behind the pilots. And I forget which one, but it was one of the band members said, you know, Ronnie, get up, get in your seat, fasten your seatbelt, and he didn't make it in time.
Oh, man.
So sad.
Wow.
Yeah. So sad. But it was mostly the people in the front area of the plane that passed away or had the most serious injuries, and the survivors were mostly in the back. Mm.
Man, and I mean the rest. I mean, first they sort of they weren't sure if they were going to continue, and you had a little offshoot with Rossington Collins,
10 years.
And then and then, but it's been sort of a family affair then with Skinner.
There were three brothers. Ronnie was the oldest. Middle brother Donnie Van Zant was a founding member of 38 Special, another great Southern rock band.
Wow.
And then Johnny Van Zant, the youngest brother, took over as the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd,
and still
really
still
for the last 40 or 30 or so years, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he was here at Jordan-Hare Stadium back
just a few years ago.
6-7 years ago, I think it is now. It doesn't seem like that long,
no
but
kidding.
I looked it up. I think it was 2017. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but yeah, the incredible band. You know, even if you're not into Southern rock or 70s, you'll know Sweet Alabama. You'll know Freebird.
Oh, yeah.
play it pretty for Atlanta,
I mean,
Piedmont Park.
And greatest hits. Give me three steps. Yep. I mean, it's just on and on and on. Great stuff. Monday Musings, that's one of the great things that look forward to every week there at auburnsports.com. And it'll be another busy week this week.
It will be. You have football, and we'll be back out there. I guess tomorrow is players, right? Yeah, players, and we'll get to watch practice. And I'll have some more coverage of baseball. I talked to Butch Sunday. Mitch and Logan Gregorio had 4 home runs in 3 games over the weekend.
Great.
He's a transfer from, where is he from? Northern Illinois. And another one of those big kids, left-handed bat. So I think they're excited about that and how things are going there. And, of course, we got Savannah Bananas coming into Placement Park Saturday night. So I'll be there for that. And then basketball, I guess, is not playing until next week, right?
10 days away from the next exhibition.
Yeah. So they're working on things. Yep.
Oh,
getting ready.
All right. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Keith, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
Door Company understands your time is valuable.
U.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Monday, and Keith is up next. Hey, Keith.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to point out something I heard this morning, somebody throwing out some stats, and they said in the 4 SEC games, we had 10 chances to go down and on a final score and win the game. and we've averaged like 0.69 yep. a play.
Yeah, yeah, other than the drive against Oklahoma that, right. that gave Auburn a lead for, I mean, a very brief time.
Yeah,
I think
it's 10 other drives.
I think five or six plays later, Auburn was behind again. But, yeah, the other 10 right. drives, Auburn has totaled 24 yards on 35 plays.
Dang, that's bad.
That yep. is. Yes, indeed.
And the, you know, we've averaged less than, I guess, we're the only SEC team that hadn't scored up more than 20 points in an SEC game.
That's
yeah,
right.
I think Auburn's averaging around 12 or 13 points in SEC play. I think.
Yeah, they scored 54 in four games. So yeah. it's not good. What is that, 13 and a half?
Yeah.
And in the four SEC losses, they've held those opponents to their lowest point yeah. total of the season.
That's yep. right.
Yep. I mean, you can only point yeah. the finger at one person.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know that I've ever seen a team lose back-to-back-to-back-to-back games as close to as good teams.
Yep.
That no, doesn't make you feel any better.
It does not. I've kind of turned off the radio and everything for 2 years. I mean, he got me that first year, and even though between the two candidates, that – I was in his corner, and I stood behind all these any coach that Auburn had, and but I could just tell I never heard somebody with as many excuses as he has, and I would venture to say that at the end of this year, you can look back over the past 2 years, even though everybody wanted more talent, and there's no doubt you got to have talent. But at the end of this year, I bet you the first 2 years we'll almost as many games that we could have won. I mean, because I felt like, especially last year, if we had had just about any other coach, we'd have won. We at least doubled our wins.
It has been it's been tough, Keith. Appreciate the call. Good stuff, Don.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. Dan should be back tomorrow. Brian, I know you guys, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything.
Check
you
guys us out, auburnsports.com. Sign up online for $1. Get all our coverage, which is a lot. And check us out. Check me out on Twitter. @BeMadAU.
All right. That's going to do it for the Monday Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Andy Burcham joins us at the start. Have a good one, everybody. We're out of here.